in one of my favorite spiritual works entitled The Spiritual Life of Archbishop Martinez. There's a quotation there that I'd like to share with you today that gets at a deep truth of the spiritual life, but one that we don't often think about, but is essential for anyone who really wants to make great strides in the faith. Archbishop Martinez was one of the bishops of Mexico City who lived just last century. His cause is now up for canonization. He wrote this, and the author of the book took these two lines from one of his personal journals. When God wants a soul to obtain a virtue, he allows it to be tested and tempted against that virtue. When God wants a soul to obtain a virtue to an extraordinary degree, he allows that soul to be tested and tempted in an extraordinary manner. My brothers and sisters, what's the connection of those words with the gospel today? John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples to our Lord with this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? You ever wondered what a bizarre question that is? I mean, John, of all people, he knows who our Lord is. He was sent to prepare the way for him. Why would he ask this question? Indeed, in the New Testament, he's the one who makes one of the most bold proclamations about Jesus being the Messiah. When they're at the Jordan River and he looks out and he sees him from a distance and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So why this question? Many people posit that he is sending his disciples to our Lord so that they would come to recognize who Jesus really is. But why wouldn't John just tell them himself? Why would that really be necessary? And indeed, some of John's disciples had already left our Lord. When he pointed him out as the Lamb of God, John and Andrew, two of John's first disciples, went to follow Jesus, and they became apostles. So if it wasn't for the disciples' sake, whose sake was it for? I think one must believe that John in prison was suffering one of the great trials of faith that anyone who's going to become a saint must endure. Here he was at the very end of his life in prison, probably starving, lonely as can be, suffering the elements of that cruel place, and the doubts enter in. Is this man whom I thought he was? Does my life really have meaning? And so he sends them to find out. And what does our Lord say in response? The dead are raised, the blind see, the lame are walking. I am the Messiah. He satisfies John's need. My brothers and sisters, anybody who takes the spiritual life seriously will encounter something akin to what John endured. There will be times of darkness, of interior desolation, of wonderment. Oh my Lord, are you really going to be there? Can I trust you fully? Will you always be present for me? I think of one of the greatest saints. She's not yet canonized. One of the people who most radiated our Lord Jesus Christ, who has ever lived since the foundation of the church, Mother Teresa. Everywhere she went, thousands of people were touched by her. People would see her smile and would be transformed. At the end of her life, they found her personal journals. People were shocked at what was written. They were scandalized to see what she had suffered. They discovered that Mother Teresa had suffered 47 years of interior darkness. She made statements like this, and I could quote hundreds of these, but I'll just share a few. She said to God, "Lord my God, who am I that you should forsake me? What are you doing, my God, to one so small? The darkness is so dark, the pain so painful. The darkness is such that I really do not see, neither with my mind nor with my reason. Why would God allow someone like Mother Teresa to suffer so terribly? So that she could shine precisely as she shone his love in the world. because she would not have reached the heights of faith if she had not gone through that suffering. And my brothers and sisters, it's the same for every one of us. When God wants to expand our hearts, when He wants us to grow in faith, He allows us to be tempted in the faith, to be tested, to be tried. And it's not always just for our own purification. Anything that we suffer, we can offer for the sake of other souls. I think of someone like St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent de Paul, everybody's heard about him. Almost every parish has a St. Vincent de Paul organization that works for the poor because he had a great love for the poor. In his own life, Father Vincent, he was regarded as a saint. He lived in France in the 17th century. And one time, one of his brother priests came to him and said, "Father Vincent, you've got to pray for me. I'm considering leaving the priesthood. I'm going through this great trial of faith, and I don't know what to do. I can't handle this." St. Vincent de Paul took the matter to prayer, and this is what he made his prayer to God. "Heavenly Father, if it would be for the preservation of his priesthood and the saving grace for his faith, I will take on and embrace anything that he is personally suffering." That priest remained a priest till the end of his life, and St. Vincent de Paul revealed years and years later that immediately upon praying that prayer for the next 4 years of his life, he suffered the most severe interior darkness that he ever knew in his entire life, so that he might save that priest's faith. Or I think of someone like St. Thérèse of Lisieux. St. Thérèse was 15 years old when she entered the Carmelite monastery. She was a mere girl, and she had never in her life heard of anyone who did not believe in God. So she gets to the monastery, and a few years go by, and she starts to hear rumors of people who consider themselves atheists, who say that God does not really exist. And she thought people were joking. No, come on, how could someone possibly get to that point? She had an experience in her life where she came to find out that yes, indeed, there were such individuals. She felt called to pray for those people in a particular way, where she offered herself as a holocaust, as an oblation to God, that those people might come to receive the grace of faith. At the end of her life, the last year and a half of her life, she entered into such a deep trial that she said to one of her fellow Carmelite sisters, "My entire life, the thought of heaven has brought me such profound consolation. I have come to the point where I don't even know if heaven is real anymore. But I choose to believe." Our Lord said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." What do we do when we enter times of darkness, doubt, despair? First and foremost, if we are not serious about living our Christian faith, if we are regularly falling into serious sin, it's our own fault. We're neglecting the faith that we ought to be living. But if we are really pursuing our Lord, we really want to be totally His, and we encounter such trials, the most important thing we can do is, one, surrender ourselves completely to God. "Lord, I know that you would never allow me to endure anything that I could not handle, that you would not give me the grace for." Two, to increase our prayer lives. Three, to receive the sacraments as frequently as possible. There's no greater grace we could ever receive. And lastly, to know without a doubt that God really allows people for a period of time to not see, so that we can grow in faith. And it's during those times which we have to place our confidence entirely in Him, so that He might expand our hearts.